This is Radio Superior 1943, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1943. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1943. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is radio station KUWS, broadcasting from studios in Superior, Wisconsin. It's 6 o'clock Standard Wartime, Wednesday, January 27th, 1943. This is Jack McKenna reminding you to conserve fuel for the war effort. Lou Martin is standing by with news from a secret Allied meeting in Casablanca, which has mapped out the rest of the war. Correspondents from around the world report in via shortwave radio. We'll have the best music of 1943. And I'll learn how to fold a surgical dressing. I will.
I'm not optimistic about it either.
The news is sponsored by the Eastern Shop, where they are holding their final clearance sale, including shirts for $1.98 and sport coats for $10.95. The Eastern Shop, 1207 Tower Avenue in Superior. Now, Lou Martin with the Eastern Shop 6 o'clock news. Good evening, sir.
Good evening to you, Jack, and good listeners. The Yanks smash back the Nazis on the Tunisian line in North Africa. Red Army reports the decimated Nazis are near doom at Stalingrad. Daryl Berrigan reports from a bombing raid over New Guinea in a flying fortress. And a secret meeting in Casablanca inks a blueprint for Axis defeat. We begin our world roundup with a shortwave radio report from Frederick Sondern.
French Morocco calling. This is Casablanca, your correspondent, Frederick Sondern, speaking. A master war plan for 1943 aimed at forcing the unconditional surrender of Germany, Japan, and Italy has been mapped in a historic 10-day conference among President Roosevelt, Prime Minister Churchill, and a score of top military and supply leaders. And Wednesday, the Allied heads had separated to put their global strategy into active and concerted execution. President Roosevelt, breaking more tradition, flew 5,000 miles for the meeting that began January 14th and ended last Sunday with a press conference on the sunny lawn of a villa in Casablanca's outskirts near the Atlantic Breaker, to which American troops stormed ashore last November. Churchill also flew to the rendezvous, which found General Charles de Gaulle, fighting French leader, General Henri Girard, French North African High Commissioner, getting together for negotiations to put a French Army, Navy, Air Force into the field for a powerful blow against the Axis. Working day and night, the President and Prime Minister were attended by virtually the entire war staffs of both nations, including all the service heads, and they reached complete agreement on their objectives, it was announced. Premier Joseph Stalin of Russia and Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek of China were kept abreast of the progress with the results of the conference, which outwitted Nazi spies based in the adjacent Spanish Morocco. The presence of such a galaxy of American and British leaders, both strategists and field commanders, indicated that not only European invasion course had been charted, but that the field commanders had been decided upon for the impending operation. When they will command, where they will strike, probably will remain military secrets for some time. President Roosevelt took time out from the deliberations to award decorations to U.S. troops, ride a jeep, review troops in the field, and eat army rations of ham and beef. Calling Allied headquarters in North Africa, calling Wes Gallagher in Tripoli.
Mobile Allied headquarters in North Africa calling. Tunisia calling. Wes Gallagher reporting. The United States forces attacking from the Oselcha Valley in Tunisia have smashed back the German lines, capturing several places of tactical importance covering the mountain pass from Oselcha to Keron. It was announced Wednesday. Despite intermittent rains, the Americans cracked through the German defenses to recover large sections of the area lost a week ago by the French when German armored units smashed forward several miles southeast of Pontoise. An Allied headquarters spokesman said several prisoners had been captured. It was in this sector that the German forces advanced last week to points some 25 miles southwest of Pontoise. Calling Moscow. Come in, Eddie Gilmore.
This is Moscow calling. Eddie Gilmore, United Press Foreign Service reporting. In one of the war's strange quirks, the defenders of Stalingrad Wednesday are German, not Russian, fighting attacks against battered ruins in the heart of the city and in another pocket slightly to the north. This remnant of Nazi forces once numbered 22 divisions, 220,000 men at full strength, and has been whittled down to 12,000 men, the Russians said. A special communique from TASS declared them doomed. Quote, it is only a matter of 2 or 3 days, it said, before they also will be completely annihilated. TASS published a war review which said Russian successes had been on the scale that the Germans had been forced to tell their people their armies had met reverses and faced still further losses. Quote, the change in the tone of the Hitlerite German propaganda affords irrefutable proof of the fact that Hitlerite Germany has entered the stage of grave military defeats, which will inevitably bring her to complete collapse. That's according to TASS. Calling the South Pacific, come in, Daryl Berrigan.
Daryl Berrigan here on board a flying fortress over New Georgia Island. This four-engine weapon of destruction has just contributed another 2 tons of TNT to the greatest all-out air offensive yet launched from the Solomon Islands against Japanese positions to the north. It's dawn. The enemy field at Munda is now temporarily useless. A useless strip of ground full of craters and denuded of air and surface defenses. We can't see any planes or activity on the ground. The once heavy Munda anti-aircraft fire was laughable this morning. It's reduced to a scarecrow, half-dozen guns, widely armed and widely shot. Our heavy bombs hit the runway, coastal areas and fortress to the east of the field. To the north, 15 miles away, on the southern tip of Kalambangara Island, New Georgia group, we can see plainly that fires are burning on the Jap airfield and other positions at Dila. I visited Munda yesterday in a fortress called O'Reilly's Daughter, a name for which none of the crew could offer an explanation. Ours and 7 other fortresses were escorted by Warhawk and Lightning fighter planes. By the roadside is a wrecked Japanese command car, smashed trucks, and a jumble of Japanese clothing, helmets, and war materials. There is no more jungle. The trees and the growth have been blasted right down to the shell-cratered ground. Now you meet the first traffic coming the other way, the American wounded. There usually are 3 boys to a topless jeep on stretchers laid crosswise, 1 across the hood, 2 across the back seat. Another boy, stripped to the waist, rides with the driver and waves palm leaves over the wounded to keep the flies away and provide a breath of air in the dank stillness. Some of the wounded boys are unconscious, but most of them are smoking quietly, and some are even propped up on their elbows, chatting. They are bound for field hospital tents. There is no moaning or complaining. We'll teach those monkeys to try and hold the only high, dry, sandy spot in the whole damn swamp and make us sleep in the muck, a soldier yells. The Aussies will get a half hour at them and then watch what we've got for them. On board a flying fortress over New Georgia Island, this is your correspondent, Daryl Berrigan, United Press Foreign Service.
President Roosevelt's sensational trip to Casablanca gives him 2 more firsts as a precedent-setting chief executive. In winging his way on board a clipper and then a bomber, FDR becomes the first president to fly while in office. And by crossing the Atlantic, he becomes the first commander-in-chief to leave the country during wartime. Flying fortresses hit another ship near Rabaul, New Britain, yesterday, setting her afire. Meanwhile, Australian Prime Minister John Curtin warned that more air power and sea power is needed by the Allies to drive the stubborn Japanese back. Mr. Curtin said that he'll put it to the American people that the only way to avenge the men killed and captured at Corregidor last year is to beef up the forces in the Pacific. All edible meat will be rationed beginning next month. Although it'll have a much smaller point value than red meat, kidneys, sweetbreads, and liver will be part of the ration plan. Eastern Shop News time is 6:06. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
I thought liver would be safe from rationing. doggone Nazis. And I have to learn how to fold surgical dressings.
We all have to do our part, Jack. For some, the sacrifices are greater than others.
Guilt always works with me, you know, Lou. Well, no guilt here. Kind words for a final clearance sale at Eastern Shop, 1207 Tower Avenue in Superior. It starts tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the Eastern Shop, and get ready for some swell buys. For example, 100 pieces of silk undies for $1. Is that a mistake? No, it's not a mistake. That's true. Silk undies for $1. And blouses for $2.49. Coats, $18.95. Bed jackets, out they go, for $1.98. And sweaters for $1.98. 100% wool, folks. Snowsuits, 10% off. See all the bargains? Well, there's a lot more that I don't have time to give you. From Eastern Shop in 1207 Tower Avenue in Superior. Make it as soon as you can. Tomorrow it starts. Clearance sale, 10 a.m.
Parents of two upstate servicemen have been notified that their sons were killed in action. Mr. and Mrs. Albert Cook have been told that their son, Private Clifford Cook, is killed December the 29th during fighting in New Guinea. Clifford Cook enlisted in 1940 with his older brother, Russell. Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Conop of Hagen received a letter Sunday from Secretary of War Stimson that their son, Staff Sergeant Robert Conop, has died of wounds received in fighting in New Guinea. He was wounded December the 28th and was said to be improving. Sergeant Conop died January the 12th. Three upstate Wisconsin men have been held prisoner by the Japanese at camps in the Philippine Islands and Formosa. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Lou, the list of local POWs is growing longer. Sergeant Andres Geiger of Horicon, Lieutenant William Leisenring of Rhinelander, and 22-year-old Captain Calvin Swanson of Superior are all Japanese POWs. Calvin Swanson is the son of Hedwin Swanson, an engineer of Lake Superior Shipbuilding in Superior. His son is being held at Camp Taiwan in Formosa. The other two are being held in an undisclosed camp in the Philippines. I do have good news, Lou. A Foxborough soldier has been awarded the Air Medal for meritorious service in the South Pacific. Sergeant Calvin Martin has been given the medal for heroic service in the campaign to drive the Japanese from Port Moresby. He is the son of Mr. and Mrs. Ben Martin of Foxborough. He enlisted in the Air Corps in 1941 and was stationed at Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii when the Japanese attacked on December 7th.
The commander of the Allied Air Forces in the South Pacific has awarded a medal to an Air Corps flyer from Hurley. Lieutenant General George Kinney awarded the Air Medal to seven men yesterday. One of them is Lieutenant Frederick Harries of Hurley. And finally, Jack, this important note from Ashland's polio drive. County Register of Deeds Ralph Wick-Zorick will head the 10th annual infantile paralysis campaign. Dimes will be collected and put on cards in schools, with half of the proceeds going to the national polio campaign, the other half helps locally. Attorney V.P. Davis and Mrs. Clyde Rundell will lead the Ashland City campaign. That's the news, Jack.
Mr. Lou Martin, the best newsman on the block. Thank you, sir. Now let's turn our attention to the brief war-shortened weather forecast for this Wednesday, January 27th, 1943. Warmer. Hey, how about that? It's about time, eh? Today's high was 5 above zero, after a low last night of 14 below zero Fahrenheit. But look for some light snow tonight, and a low of about 5 above zero. That's short-sleeve weather in January, friends. How about that? Now let's hear our first number of the evening. This is Tony Pastor and his orchestra and Bell Bottom Trousers on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Girl who lived next loved a sailor boy. He was only three. Now he's on a battleship in his sailor suit. Just a great big sailor man, but he's just as cute. Bell-bottom trousers, coat of navy blue. She loves her sailor, and he loves her too. When they walk along the street, anyone can see. They are oh so much in love, happy as can be. Hand in hand they stroll along, they don't give a hoot. He won't let go of her hand, even to salute. Bell-bottom trousers, coat of navy blue. She loves her sailor, and he loves her too.
Everywhere her sailor went, she was sure to go. Till one day he sailed away, where she doesn't know. Now she's gonna join the waves, maybe go to sea. Try to find her sailor boy, wherever he may be.
Bell-bottom trousers,
coat of navy blue.
She loves her sailor,
and he loves her too. Her sailor she can't find on the Bounding Main. She is hopeful he will soon come home safe again, so they can get married and raise a family. Dress up all the kiddies in sailor's dungarees. Bell-bottom trousers, coat of navy blue. She loves her sailor boy, and he loves her too.
That's the fun time sounds of Ruth McCullough singing Bell Bottom Trousers, of course, on station KUWS. Well, let's talk about some old friends of mine now, folks. At Arrowhead Cut Rate Furniture, 1004 Tower Avenue in Superior. Look for the name Arrowhead. Not hard to see. With curtailment of hardwood furniture, veneers, and so forth, now being used for war needs, you may soon find it impossible to buy the things you want. Luckily, Arrowhead Furniture can help you now. Our stock of furniture, stoves, and rugs is still complete. Buy at the Arrowhead Cut Rate Furniture Store, where you can get new low payments and save on your purchases. Remember, there's a war on, folks, and some things may not be available very soon. But a Cut Rate Arrowhead Furniture at Tower Avenue, 1004, you'll find what you want, I'm sure, and at a decent price. Well, on with the music now, good listeners. Turn up those Philcos and swing along with Lionel Hampton and his orchestra and Flying Home. Flying Home, yes, on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Thank you.
Swing Time on the Martin and McKenna Show. That's Lionel Hampton and Flying Home on station KUWS. Now, Lou, what's this about me having to learn how to fold surgical dressings?
Kind of got you nervous, eh?
Well, you've known me long enough, old buddy. There are certain things I'm good at, and certain things I'm not.
And what would those things be that you're good at?
Plenty of things. Just not the kind of things you'd notice.
Well, I'm just kidding. Maybe you'll be good at folding surgical dressings. Who knows? But I have a guest I'd like to bring in right now from the Superior Evening Telegram. Publisher Morgan Murphy.
Well, good day to you, Lou. No offense, Jack, but I'm not sure I want a dressing used on me that had your thick fingers tangle in it.
No offense taken, sir. I mean, that's my point. The thing the Red Cross volunteers do is real important stuff.
We'll all commiserate over Jack's dilemma later, but, Mr. Murphy, you do have today's editorial. You call it Facing Facts.
Yes, the military situation of the United Nations on every fighting front has improved greatly during these past few months. This is easily demonstrable and so encouraging that the more volatile analysts may have read too much significance into it. On every street corner, at every bar, and in most living rooms, amateur strategists are saying confidently that the collapse of Germany is in sight, that we can expect peace, in the Occident at least, before another new year. Admiral Halsey, our commander in the South Pacific, offers the same pleasing prophecy. Everybody hopes that these enthusiasts are right, but most of the better grounded observers feel that Admiral Halsey should not be taken too literally. Even the reports of the Roosevelt-Churchill conference in Africa, encouraging though they may be, do not intimate that this war is going to end soon without a struggle. Accepting Winston Churchill's phrase that the North African venture marks the end of the beginning, conservative analysts feel that the year 1943 will bring the beginning of the end, that the Axis will be put permanently on the run, but cannot be crushed into capitulation before 1944. The Russians are doing marvelously, but it's not enough that the Soviets encircle. They must obliterate. And the farther the Russians go, the shorter become the Germans' lines of communication, and the harder Stalin's task. Despite Secretary Knox's flat disclaimer, every indication points to an alarming concentration of Japanese strength at Rabaul. Australian sources contend that we do not have enough air strength there to warrant overconfidence. Ultimate victory has turned the corner, but it is still a long way down a rocky road. We'll do better in the long run by being realistic.
Superior Evening Telegram publisher Morgan Murphy. Thank you, sir.
Well, I guess it's on with Jack's dressing dilemma, then, in which case I shall depart.
Get going while the going's good, eh?
Hey, guys, I'm not whining. This is important stuff. There's always a good picker-upper, however. And this little number is by Margaret Whiting and a wonderful guy on station KUWS.
I'm as corny as Kansas in August. I'm as normal as blueberry pie. No more a smart little girl with no heart. I have found me a wonderful guy. Conventional star in my eye, and you will note there's a lump in my throat when I speak of that wonderful guy. I'm as trite and as gay as a daisy, and may a cliche coming true. I'm bromidic and bright as a moon, happy night pouring light on the dew. I'm as corny as Kansas in August, high as a flag on the 4th of July. If you'll excuse an expression I use, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with a wonderful guy.
No more a smart little girl with no heart, she has found her a wonderful guy.
conventional star in my eye. And you will note there's a lump in my throat when I speak of that wonderful guy. I'm as trite and as gay as a daisy in May, a cliche coming true. I'm bromidic and bright as a moon, happy night pouring light on the dew. I'm as corny as Kansas in August, high as a flag on the 4th of July. If you'll excuse an expression I use, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with a wonderful guy.
Yes, the fine music mixology of the Martin and McKenna Show. That's what I'm good at, Lou.
Yes, Jack.
Music mixology. Kind of has a nice ring to it.
Now let's bring in Maud Fiske, Red Cross volunteer.
Lou, she's got muscles.
Is this the guy?
Look at the size of her hands and arms. I'm afraid, Lou.
You need a hanky for all this sniveling you're doing. This is a real public service you can do for your Red Cross, Mac. The way we figure it, if we can teach you to fold a surgical dressing, people will know anyone can do it and join up. Ready, Mac?
Please be gentle, Mrs. Fiske.
That's Miss Fiske to you, thank you.
Ooh, still looking, are you?
Oh, let's just say I'm married to the Red Cross for the duration. It takes a real man to tie me down.
A real big man.
Don't mind Lou. He's a kidder. Lou the Kidder, I call him.
With a big rope.
I don't appreciate kidding. This is serious business, Mac. Now pay attention. Eyes front and center, and spit out that gum.
But I'm not,
A fellow like you needs to concentrate, and gum chewing may be too much.
Boy, she is tough, Lou. I spit something out, and I wasn't even chewing gum.
Now, Jack, here is the way we start the dressing. We fold once to the corner, and then get the edges even. You got that so far?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, we fold it another time, and we have to have a 2x2 square when we finish. You got it?
Oh, sure. Got it.
Well, now, that wasn't so hard, was it?
I'll tell one and all this is a good thing for anyone with spare time.
Now, you show up at the Elks' home, Mac, and I'll take special care of you. You're not so bad for a klutzy kind of guy.
If you want to see klutzy, you should see Lou try to fold towels.
I agree, Miss Maud. Mac's not too bad. He kind of grows on you.
No help, Lou. I don't need any help.
I can see that now. I may be married to the Red Cross, but that doesn't mean I don't kick up a heel now and again at the Servicemen's Club.
Thanks. Thank you. We appreciate, Miss Fiske.
Call me Maud, Mac.
Thank you, Maud, Mac. On with the music, then.
Jack's a real good dancer. I'll bet that he'd let you lead.
This is somebody playing some hopefully unromantic music on station KUWS.
He's looking flustered.
Certain women do that to men.
Double dare you to kiss me again.
fine music mixology of the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. That was Larry Clinton and his orchestra, and I Double Dare You. That sounds recent. Vocals by B. Wayne. Whoo, boy, Lou, I'd say that was a good news, bad news kind of thing. I learned how to fold a surgical dressing, but I hope I don't have to use it on myself if I end up dancing with Miss Maud.
I enjoyed her. We need to have her back.
Yeah, oh boy. You know there are times when a friend is supposed to help his buddy out of jams, Lou.
Well, a reminder to folks that the fuel oil ration stamp number 3 expires on Wednesday. On Sunday, temporary truck permits will expire. By then, truck operators will have received their certificate of war necessity to get gasoline. And on Monday, sugar stamp number 11 is valid, good for 3 pounds of sugar until March the 15th. But no rationing stamp needed to take a certain Red Cross woman dancing, Mac.
You're not very funny, Lewis. And stop calling me Mac. Another learning experience on the Martin and McKenna Show, friends. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, if the Lord's willing, and I stay away from the Elks home. For Lou Martin, then.
And Miss Maud.
I'm waiting, Mac.
Yeah, certainly. Mm-hmm. This is Jack McKenna speaking now. Good night, all.
You have been listening to Radio Superior 1943, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan is played by Paul Guggenheimer. Other performances by John Munsell, Don Mason, Joel Anderson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1943 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1943. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.